Hi everyone, the Bible reading is 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 to 10. You can find that on page 1223 in the church Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is the coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they will deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction on the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare.
Let's pray as we get into that passage. Father, thank you that we don't have to guess about what you're like, about what the future holds. Thank you that your word tells us. And I pray that as we weigh up these issues this evening, please give us open hearts and open minds. In Jesus' name, amen. The question I'd like to ask you as we begin is, do you believe in Judgment Day? Do you believe in Judgment Day? Not the Judgment Day that you might see in the Hollywood films, but do you believe in the ultimate Judgment Day, where each human being on this planet who's ever lived will stand face to face with their Maker? Do you believe in Judgment Day? Do you believe in verse 10 of the passage that we've just had read? Let me read it again. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Do you believe that that's actually going to happen? It'll be like the ultimate exam day, the ultimate day of reckoning, where each human who's ever lived stands before their Maker. And when Peter wrote this letter, the church that he was writing to, there were two groups of people that he was writing to, or one group of people, and he was aware of another group of people. And these groups of people had very different ideas about the day that Peter's describing. That's why he's describing it in such vivid terms, because the people that he's writing to were being spoken to by other people who weren't so persuaded that there was going to be a judgment day. And Jonathan's already mentioned them. The people that were around with the church of this day, he refers to as the scoffers. verse 3, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers will come. And there's a pretty good way to summarize what these people think about Judgment Day, and it's this. It's a bit small. There probably won't be a Judgment Day. Stop worrying and enjoy your life. There probably won't be a Judgment Day. You know, we don't know for sure, but there's very unlikely to be a Judgment Day. So, relief. Stop worrying and enjoy your life. And they're very insistent on that message. And these scoffers existed in Peter's day, and would you believe it, they exist today as well. Don't know if you're aware of this bus campaign that ran maybe about 10 years ago now, an atheist bus campaign where they put these posters on lots of London buses and probably elsewhere. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy life. There probably won't be a Judgment Day, so stop worrying and enjoy life. That was the message of the scoffers in the day of Peter writing this letter. And I guess we're probably subconsciously weighing up whether we want to go with the scoffers or whether we want to go with Peter's revealed truth. And we're going to look at them in turn this evening and see their arguments and see which one we find more persuasive. So first of all, the argument of the mockers. First of all, the way they try and persuade us that there's no Judgment Day, so stop worrying and enjoy your life. First of all, would you believe it? They mock. Or, to use the language of this translation, they scoff. So, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. And what do? They scoff. They mock. In other words, their first approach, their first argument is just plain ridicule. Just plain ridicule. I don't know whether you've had that experience of being in a conversation with someone who doesn't believe in Christianity, and they might ask you, you know, what do you believe about the future? And you explain. What's the reaction? It's kind of pity. I was in a conversation like this recently, and my colleague at work said, so what do you believe is going to happen, you know, in the future when we die? And I explained as far as I could, and he just laughed at me pretty much. 2023, and you believe this? Crazy. How can you believe that? Mockery, first argument. And you might know something of that firsthand. Maybe your friends that don't believe the gospel, maybe your family members, maybe tomorrow in lectures or in school classes, you say, yeah, you know, I believe that there's an eternal judgment day. Mockery. Mockery. 2023, you can't believe that. Second argument, immorality. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. In other words, what is it that motivates these deniers of Judgment Day? Is it that they've examined the evidence and they've gone, no, we don't think there's enough evidence to convince us that there's a Judgment Day? It's not, is it? Scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. The idea of Judgment Day, the idea of being accountable to a God who is in charge of the universe, doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their morality or their immorality. So they dismiss it. Third argument that they put forward, what you might call uniformity or sameness. Verse 4, they will say, sorry, just get up on the screen. Verse 4, they will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Sameness, uniformity. In other words, they've signed up to what you might call the hamster ball theory of life. It goes round and round and round and round and round. And it just keeps going. And the hamster thinks, the more I do this, the more I have the same experience. And that's what people in this world think. That's what these false teachers think. You know, you have a Monday, and then a Tuesday, and then a Wednesday, and then a Thursday, and then a Friday, and then a Saturday, and then a Sunday, and then a Monday, and then a Tuesday, and then a Wednesday, and a Thursday, and a Friday, and a Saturday, and a Sunday, and a Monday. And then you have spring, and you have summer, and you have autumn, and then you have winter, and then you have spring, and you have summer, and you have autumn, and you have winter, and then you have the year 1998, and then you have the year 1999, and the year 2000, 2001, and suddenly you get to 2023, and it's just going on the same. Verse 4, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. In other words, nothing's going to change in the future, because things are just going round, like a hamster ball goes round. There's probably no judgment day. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life, the false teachers say. Mockery. It's 2023. We can't be entertaining these stupid ideas of a judgment day. Immorality. It doesn't fit with how we want to live our lives. There is no God that can tell me what I can do and what I can't do. Uniformity. Haven't you seen that it's 2023? Everything just keeps going as it always has. And I don't know about you, maybe you're persuaded by that thinking. Do what you want. Things don't change. And just as we're about to sign on the dotted line and buy into this theory, Peter steps in and says, these false teachers are wrong. These false teachers are dangerously wrong. Peter's view can be summarized like this. There will be a judgment day. There will be a judgment day. Repent now before it's too late. Now you might think, oh, that sounds, you know, that doesn't sound very 2023. Judgment day, you know, repentance. But actually, if it's true, there's nothing more 2023 than that. We're going to watch a little video clip, hopefully, of a weather forecast that happened on a particular day in 1987. It's about 15 seconds long.
Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. But having said that, actually, the weather will become very windy, but most of the strong winds, incidentally, will be down over Spain and across into France.
Brilliant. With
Expedia.
If you didn't quite hear that, that's Michael Fish in 1987 saying in the weather forecast, apparently earlier, a woman rang the BBC and said, there's a hurricane on the way. Don't worry, there isn't. Now, some people are laughing because they probably know how that story ends, which is that that weather forecast was followed by the most devastating storm this country has seen for 300 years. There were 130 mile per hour winds, and 18 people were killed, and many more were injured. You see, people dismiss the idea of a storm, but the reality was it came, and it was devastating. And in our day, people dismiss outright the idea of a judgment day. I mean, if we asked most of Worcester, most of our nation, is there really a judgment day? You would get scoffing. Does that mean that it's not going to happen? Peter says, there will be a judgment day. Repent now before it's too late. And he doesn't just say that and kind of state it and expect us to believe it without any reasons. He goes in then to persuade us why it's credible, why it's rational to believe in a judgment day. And just before we look at the verses from 5 and on, I just want to show you from how he sets this section up. So verses 1 and 2, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. What Peter's going to say is not archaic and oppressive. Peter's going to speak wholesome words. The day of judgment, the truth that there's a day of judgment and realizing that truth is wholesome. What is his argument? Number one, look at the power of God. Look at the power of God. Verse 5. But they deliberately forget, these scoffers deliberately forget, in other words, they close their mind to these facts, that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Peter says, do you want to know the power of God? Look at the creation that's around us. Look up at the stars. Look at the mountains. That points to a creator. God brought this creation into being by his powerful word. And actually, when you step back and think about it, that does make sense, doesn't it? This world exists. The Bible's explanation is God brought it into being by his power. Second bit of the power of God argument is that he's got the power to destroy. God's word doesn't just create, it also destroys. Verse 6, by these waters, and apparently in the original that's by these means, so by these, the word and water, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And it's a reference to the time of Noah when the world was physically destroyed by a flood. How did that flood come about? How did that destruction come about? By the power of God. It wasn't just a freak accident. The Lord sent judgment, powerful judgment, and destroyed the whole world. How does this persuade us that there will be a judgment day? We've seen the creation. We've seen the destruction. How is Peter building his argument that there will be a judgment day? Verse 7. First four words, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. In other words, the method that God used to create the mountains and the stars and the whole of his creation was his word. The method that God used to destroy the world in the flood was his word. And it's the same method that God is going to use to bring judgment, ultimate judgment, on the world. Verse 7, those first four words, by the same word. You know, God's word, God's powerful word, has got a pretty good track record of demonstrating its power, doesn't it? I don't know what you would say is the most powerful substance in the whole world. I'm guessing it's probably a nuclear bomb. I don't really know much about these things, but I'm guessing it's a nuclear bomb. Now, imagine a horrible scenario where a nuclear bomb landed on a country and devastated the whole country. And then it did it again and again and again. Even though it's a kind of huge devastation, would it be rational to doubt the power of that nuclear bomb? It wouldn't, would it? You know, it's a kind of unlikely, devastating scenario, but it would actually be irrational to doubt the damage that could be caused by that nuclear bomb once you'd seen it in action. And that's Peter's logic here. Verse 7 again. By the same word, in other words, the word that created, the word that destroyed at the flood, that is the power that God is relying on to bring about judgment day. Peter says, there will be a judgment day. Repent now before it's too late. But, you might be thinking, why hasn't this come already? Why hasn't it come already? You know, if God is so keen to bring about perfect justice, bring about judgment day, why doesn't he hurry up that process? Surely it's kind of, you know, looking back in the false teacher's favor, because surely if he was going to do this, he'd have done it by now. Why is he not bringing about this judgment day earlier? Is it because he can't be bothered? Has he slept through his alarm? Has he lost all hope? Has he said it's gone too far? It's gone too far. According to Peter, it's because he's patient. That's the second point. The patience of God. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In other words, to our human minds, 2023 feels like a long time after this promised second coming, after the promise was made. But to God, who's eternal, it's like a couple of days. You know, it's a bit like when you're a 4 or 5 year old kid, every Christmas seems like miles between every Christmas. You know, oh my goodness, I can't wait till Christmas. As a person in their mid 30s, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe Christmas is here again. It's a bit like that for God. He says he's eternal, and so of course 1,000 years are like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. But still the question remains, doesn't it? Why hasn't he come yet? It may be a short period of time to God, but why hasn't he come? Has he forgotten? Can he be bothered? Verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. When we're tempted to doubt the prospect of the day of judgment, remember the patience of God's character. Unbelievable patience. I don't know if you know anyone really, really patient. I often think mums are very patient. I thought it would be good to mention mums on Mother's Day. My mum's here. Isn't that nice? Mums are very, very patient, aren't they? I think particularly when they've got young kids, it always strikes me that, you know, they're eating their food, or they're playing with crayons, or they're just playing with toys in a nice room in the lounge, and they're making an incredible mess. And the mum is looking on, and I'm thinking, don't you care that, you know, there's food everywhere, that there's crayons, you know, being drawn all over the carpet. The mum looks on and is just incredibly patient. And God looks at our world and it's in a complete mess. There's rebellion against him. There's injustice abounding. And we can look and think, why doesn't he sort it out? Why doesn't he just come back in judgment and put everything right now? Well, it's because there is something overriding his desire to put things right now. It's amazing to think that. There is something that overrides God's desire to put things right, and it's his patience, his desire for sinners to come home. Verse 9, middle of verse 9. Instead, he is patient with you. In what way is he patient? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Time for a personal question. I'd like to put your hand up. If you have become a Christian within the last... put your hand up if you became a Christian within the last 30 years. Amazing. Aren't you pleased that the Lord didn't come 31 years ago? He could have come 31 years ago. His desire to put this world right was there. But he didn't come because he's patient. Put your hand up if you became a Christian within the last 20 years. Aren't you pleased that God didn't come 21 years ago? Last 10 years. More over this side of the room now. Aren't you pleased that God didn't come 11 years ago? You know, he had the desire to put things right, but there was a desire overriding that desire, which is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter says, there will be a day of judgment. Repent now before it's too late. I don't know whether there's a particular day that you're living in light of at the moment. Maybe it's a wedding day. Maybe that's the day in your mind that you're counting down to. Maybe it's the start of exams. Maybe that's the day in your mind that you think, God, that's a big day. Maybe it's the end of exams. Maybe there's a particular holiday that you're counting down to. Maybe there's the start of a new job that you're counting down to. Peter says there's a day coming, the day of judgment, that is so much more important than any of those days. Make sure you live in light of that day. Let me read that verse again. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word tells us the truth about your world. And we pray, Father, that when we encounter false teaching, false ideas that, or thoughts that mock or scoff at the idea of a judgment day, Father, we pray that we will remember your faithfulness, your creative word, your destructive word. And Father, we pray that we will live in light of that day as the ultimate day. In Jesus' name, amen.